Let's pray together. Gracious Holy Spirit, I call upon you now. I call upon you now that you might rest upon us, that you might light the fire that is within us, which is your Holy Spirit. Come now, Spirit, let the word be the seed that you enliven within us, that then may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be wholly acceptable unto thee, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. When we gather this morning to read the word, we gather this morning to let the word become flesh and dwell among us. We gather this morning at the same time recognizing that it is New Year's Eve. And so we think about beginnings. We think about fresh start. Now the Bible, believe it or not, mentions two beginnings. There's one that we know, which we know so well, Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was God created the heavens and the earth. We know that one well. That's the first beginning. But the next beginning that comes is one that makes that first one seem like it happened just yesterday. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him, nothing that was made was made. No matter where you set your marker down on human history, on the timetable of creation, the Ancient of Days comes out of eternity and the past to meet you. Did you hear the phrase? Did you hear it told? In the beginning was, not is, but was the Word. He's already past tense. That reminds us that, in fact, the Word was co-eternal with the Father. The Word always was and is. And so there we are. We come and meet God truly in his eternity. But then we hear of the second beginning. The second beginning, that's the one that's for you and for me, folks. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We have seen his glory as of only the Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. This is the beginning that's for you and for me. A beginning full of grace and truth. And so, I realize this is New Year's Eve, and maybe I need to give you that New Year's Eve sermon, right? That New Year's Eve sermon about resolutions and about new starts and about sin, all those wonderful things. And so I'll do that. Why? Because we understand that, in fact, Jesus Christ came full of grace and truth. Because, you see, we know that it's New Year, new beginnings. Tomorrow, as I said, many of you are going to start diets. But, you know, that's the right time to start one, isn't it? Always tomorrow. Remember that tomorrow now, okay? But that new beginning fits us just nicely this morning. It fits us just right. The word full of grace and truth. Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. What a start. What a new beginning. But we have to understand that this is only true for those of us who are in Christ. Listen to it again. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. The old are gone and the new has come. So what does it mean to be in Christ? Well, Paul gives us a bit of knowledge about that in Romans chapter 7, in that personal confession that he makes when he says, I do the things I don't want to do. I don't do the things that I want to do. Wretched man that I am, who delivered me from this bondage of death? Then Romans chapter 8, verse 1, it says this, now there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. In Christ. In Christ. What does it mean to be in Christ? Well, Christos is the anointed one. And so to be in Christ means to be in the anointing. It means to be in the Spirit. And as we do that, we join in those wonderful promises of Jesus Christ. 1 John chapter 1, if you confess your sins, God is faithful and just to forgive your sins, cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Now that's a new beginning. That's a new beginning. Nothing beats that. Cleansed. Not just forgiven, but cleansed. And then Hebrews chapter 8, he says, chapter 8. Chapter 8, yes, chapter 8. I'll remember your sins no more. no better deal. So there you are. There's a perfect New Year's Eve sermon, New Year's Eve sermon for Sunday morning, that we recognize that God is Jesus Christ, full of grace and truth, that we can be cleansed, forgiven, made new, a new creation, we can be in Christ. And so there we are, amen. Maybe it's a little more. Wouldn't it be sad if the only thing that this Word becoming flesh, wouldn't it be sad if that the Creator of all that is from eternity came only to cause our salvation? Wouldn't it be sad if that's all the Word did? Now, don't get me wrong, I'm all for salvation. I need it daily, don't you? But if the Word, this incarnation, accomplished only our salvation, salvation is most important, to be forgiven, cleansed, as I just said, set free from guilt and shame. Amen. But is there more? Is there more that this Word created, this incarnation, this Word become flesh, did for us? Luke chapter 1 tells us the Christmas story. We know it, we love it. We love to hear about angels and shepherds and mangers and Mary and Joseph traveling to Bethlehem. We love all of that, and that's a wonderful gift. But now here it is, John chapter 1. He doesn't tell us about the nativity. He tells us about the job description. The job description of this Word become flesh, God who took on our humanity. He says this. Let me read from you verse chapter 1, verse 9. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. Now, obviously, that's a reference to the Hebrew nation. He came to his own, but his own did not receive him. So in their rejection, then, John goes on to tell us this, but to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Now, that's something worthy of our worship. Because while we all need salvation, we want to be made right with God, a new relationship with God, a new creation. But then to be made a child of God. We're talking about inheritance there, folks. We're talking about an inheritance that is made for us. So we need to talk about that just for a moment. Now, what does it mean for us to be a child of God? Well, first of all, point one is this. Are you ready? Not everyone is a child of God. It's hard for us to say this. It's hard for me to say that. But not everyone's a child of God. You heard the word, he says. But for those who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. So that means that those who do not receive him, do not believe in his name, are not yet children of God. You can't know God as Father unless you know he has a son. Now, many of you have gotten to know me, but until you meet my daughters, you won't truly know that I'm a father, until you know that I've got daughters. That's what it means to believe in and receive Jesus Christ as a son, to know him as Father, to know him as a father. So, we are all God's offspring. We are all God's creation. But not everyone can claim to be a child of God. But anyone may be. There's a wonderful text of acclamation at the end of our burial service. When we give a saint to the Lord, we say, all we go down to the dust, yet even at the grave we make our song, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I always say this, only Christians can sing at the grave. I say that because we know what's next. But now you understand this, only Christians can sing at the grave, but anyone may become a Christian, isn't that right? Anyone may become a child of God. Anyone may receive and believe in him on his name. So, rather, he gave those who received him the right to become children of God. Jesus himself said this, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. It simply is to acknowledge that, yes, I know you are a father because I know you have a son, and then I may be your child. So how does all this happen? But to all who did receive him, who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. The right to become. That word there is exousia. It's a wonderful word in the Greek, the exousia. It means power. It also means authority. It can also mean opportunity. He gave us the authority to become children of God. But then he goes on to say this. Here's three ways it does not happen. Three ways that this does not happen. I'm doing a little Bible study with you, if you will. Just hang on for a minute. Verse 13. Those who were born, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. Three ways it doesn't happen. It does not happen by the will of by the blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man. Three negatives. Now, not of blood is a reference to the Hebrew nation. Those who he came to who did not receive him. Now, again, anyone may receive him, but they did not receive him, so it does not happen by blood, by DNA. So then it says, nor the will of the flesh. That's a reference to procreation. So because you're born of Christian parents doesn't make you a Christian. Now, thank God for you Christian parents who are rearing your children in the knowledge and love of Jesus Christ. But because you were born, because you were born an Episcopalian doesn't make you an Episcopalian, right? Because you were born in a certain place does not make you a Christian, a child of God. So not through the will of the flesh. And this says, and not by the will of man. What's the will of man? The will of man is our own endeavor. So yes, please practice your discipleship. Please, please do your small groups, your time of gathering together to learn and so forth. But to become a child of God is not by endeavor, it's by the right and the grace and the will of God to become a child of God. So you don't become a child of God because you're born of a certain nation. You don't become a child of God because you're born of a certain parents. You don't become a child of God because of any human endeavor initially. You become a child of God because you've met, received, and believed in his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. It's as profound as that. And it's as simple as that. I've told you all several times, by the time that I met him, my story is always this, and that is that as a good young Christian boy, I had read the book. But one day in my early 20s, I met the man. Very different. Very different. I'd read the book, but I met the man. And so in that, that's how we become then a child of God. And from then we grow. Everything becomes true to us. We become the right to become, to call God our Father. Wouldn't it be sad if the incarnation was only for your salvation and mine? Wouldn't it be sad if this word, this creator who humbled himself, took on our very being, only created us salvation? But he also said, but if you believe in me and receive me, I'll make you my child, the child of God. That's about inheritance, folks. Inheritance. The inheritance of being a child, the inheritance of sonship, that there's now a new spirit. The old nature is gone. Wow, now, that's the true new beginning. The old nature is gone, and that is original nature, fallen, sinner, rebellion, child of wrath. All those things now, we may have a new nature, the nature of a child. The nature of being the child, the inheritance from the Father, and we get a new spirit, a new life, a new joy. Now, tonight, tomorrow, when you celebrate new beginnings, make sure in the midst of all that you say, Father, I receive Jesus Christ, I believe in him, thank you for making me your child. Thank you for making me your child. Give me your nature that your nature might take over my nature. And then I will truly begin a new year. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Hallelujah, then the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, then the glory. Revive us again. We praise thee, O God, O Son of thy love. for Jesus who died and is now gone above. We praise thee, O God, for thy Spirit of light, who has shown us a Savior and scattered of night. Hallelujah and the glory, hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah and the glory, revive us again. Hallelujah and the glory, hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah and the glory, revive us again. All glory and praise to the Lamb that was slain, who has borne all our sins and has cleansed every stain. Revive us again, fill each heart with thy love. May your soul be rekindled with fire from above. Hallelujah and the glory, hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah and the glory, revive us again. Hallelujah and the glory, hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah and the glory, revive us again.